Blog Talk Radio.
Our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude, we booty, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Dope Radio Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We are live on a Friday afternoon. Kind of strange, I know. It is kind of strange. I'm not going to lie, but we are back to talk a little boxing. What the hell is going on? Something's going on with my Skype. Okay. So anyway, Friday afternoon. Little silly. Okay. I think I got that figured out. That was weird. Anyway. I hit that on my phone. Wow, I didn't even mean to do that. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm a little flustered, but I'm back, okay? So we're going to talk, of course, we're going to talk some boxing. We got a variety of things to talk about. We will be talking a little bit about last night's fight card, which turned out, obviously, a mixed result, but not for Felix Verdejo. He scored a really damn good knockout. Not something that I was really thinking would happen that early in the fight. Maybe even ever, but especially that early. So he definitely looked good. It'll be interesting to see where they go with him next. Anderson, the heavyweight, scored a quick knockout. So we'll talk about the card. I'm not going to go backtracking too far. When it comes to some of this recap, I'll kind of brush, aside some of this stuff just because I know it's Friday. But I will be looking towards this next Tuesday, which is a really interesting fight. Oscar Valdez and Jason Velez. That's going to be a good fight, especially coming back off of this COVID layoff. I think that's a pretty damn good fight. Is it Valdez? Is it his first? Is it Oscar's first fight at 130 or second? That I can't remember. I think it's his second. But either way, we're going to preview that fight. That's kind of interesting. And then, you know, there's a variety of news. Charlo is, I guess, well, I said Charlo Brothers. Jermall Charlo. Looks like he may have, it looks like he may have something to, it looks like he's got an opponent. Sorry, my phone is just going off the chain. I wonder if everyone can hear me. Is that like an issue or something? Let me double check. Actually, we can. You guys can hear me for sure because I accidentally dialed the call-in number when I hit something on my phone, and I could hear it. I'll just double-check. Text me, though, if you're having problems hearing me, anybody out there. I'm going to check one more time. Actually, you heard it. I think you may have heard the repeat. I can hear it. So a variety of stuff, though, that we're going to talk about. It is a shortened show today because I'm just kind of trying not to have a week go by and not do a show. I was out of town for the last couple of days, came back and kind of hit the ground running as far as work. So this is going to be a condensed show, okay? It's going to be right around an hour, so there's not going to be a lot of time. But I will get to some news items. We're still wondering what's up with Canelo and his next opponent. every time with Golden Boy now, it seems like they go through this process, and it's just crazy. I mean, obviously, it's a little different because they don't have to sell tickets to it, or at least a lot of tickets. So, you know, you're it's 2 months from the fight, I guess a little less than 2 months from the fight, or at least the supposed date. What was that, September 12th or something like that? There's no way Golden Boy could drop the ball again and have Canelo miss Mexican Independence Weekend, yeah, the 12th. I'd be shocked. I guess it is boxing. You never know. But I'd be shocked. I got to say, I would definitely be shocked if they had him missing it again. So I'm assuming we'll talk a little bit more about that subject, though, because it is kind of an interesting one. They are starting to narrow down some opponents. Ryder, actually, who looked damn good against Kellyanne Smith, it looks like he may be the one. Showtime is back, and they came back pretty strong so far as what we know about the schedule. Here's something else that kind of makes me scratch my head. So we're hearing now that Lomachenko and Lopez haven't even received their offers for their fight. I mean, what? Like, how are you going to be talking about it this long? I mean, I understand May 30th, I think, was the first working date, and we all know why that didn't work. There was some thoughts about that it may not happen till late in the year, or maybe next year, because of the COVID situation. Well, it's not like they're going to be able to get a bunch of fans in the stands, per se. I mean, we do have 2 months, you know, hopefully, well, a little bit longer now. Anyway, I got pushed back, but just hearing the news that neither of them have gotten the offers for the fight really just is, I don't know, how are you going to have, like, segments on your broadcast designed for this, getting everybody pumped up about this, but you haven't even offered them the fight? I'm just lost with it. I'm not really sure. I know there was some herky-jerky negotiations back and forth early on, like earlier this year. I think it was in May, we found out that they hadn't actually signed the contracts and whatnot. Now it is a different deal because, you know, I think they still want to do it on pay-per-view, but can they get a $1 million or $2 million gate? You know, it's probably not likely. But maybe with the proper spacing, they'd allow it. I have no clue. I did actually see, I didn't watch it. I'm not a big NASCAR fan or anything like that, but I did see that they had, like, out of over 100,000 people that can fit in this stadium, they spread out about 30,000. I can't remember what state this was in. It's kind of, I kind of just lost it, actually. I can't remember. Was it? Yeah, I can't remember. Anyway, I mean, I guess there is that, have a, you know, like they were talking about having that big new football stadium and fill it with 20,000 people, or try to, and just, you know, space them out. That's possible, but do you really want to be that far away? I realize there's going to be huge screens. I don't know. It's an interesting thing, but that kind of just shook me a little bit. We'll go over some boxing Twitter stuff and some fight news as well, because there is some fight news out there that, you know, some of the stuff is pretty damn good news. And like I said, when I talk about boxing Twitter, just a segment that I have that a lot of people now, actually in the last couple of months especially, people have been sending me tweets to read during the boxing Twitter segment. It just, a lot of it focuses on the media or boxing fans or fanboys, whatever you want to say, and just silly stuff, you know, that they say. Just like, wow, or just like delusional type of stuff. So we'll, like I said, we're going to talk a little recap. We are going to look towards, you know, that fight coming up on Tuesday. I think the Tuesday and Friday fights are pretty good, especially the main events, all things considering, coming up. One on DAZN, of course, that's on Friday. I will be doing a show before that sometime. I may actually do a show Tuesday night after this Valdez and Velez fight. Not totally sure 100%, but I'm going to try to do that. Anyway, before we get into it, if this is your first time listening to the Rope-A-Dope Radio podcast, God, I'm all over the place. Ow, my cat just bit me. I just stepped on my cat. Oops, sorry about that. I didn't even know you were in here. Okay, sorry. Where was I at? Oh, yeah, if this is your first time listening to the Rope-A-Dope Radio podcast, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/Rope-A-Dope Radio. It streams live at archives. It's basically the headquarters, you know, boxing first, but we do have football and basketball as well. But if you don't want to just download it off Blog Talk or listen to it in the browser, that's cool. You can find it pretty much everywhere. You can find it, of course, on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, really across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found all across the board, including Spotify. You can use your Siri, Alexa through Spotify or TuneIn to find the platforms. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. That's thegruelingtruth.com. It's boxing. It's football. It's baseball. It's basketball. It's everything in between. They got a wide variety of different throwback articles, or, you know, articles that have blogs that have, you know, to do with today's sports, and just a variety of podcasts. One more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you have and you're not quite happy, I got something for you. I used it myself. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They do have the 7-day free trial. The plans start as low as $55 a month. There's no annual contract. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. And boxing fans, Showtime's only $11 on this, which it does look like they, like I've said many times, it does look like they're returning more to championship boxing rather than just the championship boxing for Clarissa Shields and then Showbox. A lot of it hasn't been what you call really championship boxing. I mean, of course, if there's a belt online, we get it. But anyway, it does look like they're bouncing back more this year. We'll see. Just so you know, though, if you have just horrible internet, right, like you just you can barely do, you know, Netflix, there is AT&T TV. That's a normal cable platform. It's a growing platform. It's not everywhere. It's here in Minneapolis, in New York, parts of Florida, parts of Texas, parts of California, all the way up to Seattle, another place in the Midwest, St. Louis. So it's a growing platform. Just basically Google it, put your area code in there, see if they got it, see if, you know, if they got it in your area. Otherwise, AT&T TV Now, like I said, live streaming cable. Okay, so as far as Tuesday night, so here's the thing. This is the second time something's happened with my DVR, or not with the DVR, but how ESPN on the guide scheduled their show. So originally, they remember they were doing the four-hour window, and then they cut to three-hour window, which I thought was very smart. But I had recorded a bunch of them, right? Like the ones that were available, I just recorded them. So the first time that happened, that when I went to 3 hours, it screwed me because it went to a three-hour block, which totally takes away your DVR. Like it records it, right? It looks like it records it. You go in there, and there's nothing. So you're like, what the hell? Okay, I realize now it's a three-hour thing. Sometimes when some of these main event fights have been canceled, they'll redo the guide and put, you know, the new one on there, the new fight that they put on there. And sometimes that kind of resets the television guide. It's very strange. But I knew something was up, and I'm glad I checked it. But on Tuesday, it said from 8 to 11, okay, and that's Central Time. And I knew it was 7 to 10. I was just looking at it going, I'm pretty damn sure this is 7 to 10, but I did see some sort of basketball tournament that they had on ESPN. So I did see that in front of it. So I thought, okay, maybe just this one time they're going to start it at 8. So I just decided to see what it would do, you know. And sure enough, it didn't record it. Because the shit was just, it was stated wrong in the guide, and if you record it that way, it's going to screw up. So Tuesday night was all messed up, so I actually didn't get a chance to actually see much. But God, my freaking damn.
Okay.
My text is just blowing up, and now this is something totally off the whole. It's COVID related, not from me, but okay. Anyway, so where was I? God, I am just all over the place, and I apologize. My cat bit me. I'm all over the place. But anyway, I did get to see last night's show. Now, I went back and watched some of it. It wasn't available on ESPN Plus when I tried to go watch it. I'm sure it is by now or soon, but the time I had to watch it, I wasn't able to do that. So I won't be talking much. Of course, we had another cancellation. And maybe that's why I got reset to a different – I have no clue. But it's happened twice now. And I wanted to really – I wanted to make sure. I was like, that 8 to 11 doesn't sound right. But anyway – that's my problems. I'll get over it. I don't mean to bore you guys. It was just kind of random, but that's why I'm not going to talk too much about it. But last night, you know, Jaron Anderson, the heavyweight, up-and-coming heavyweight, the prospect heavyweight, TKO, you know, first round, not much to talk about except, you know, he looks pretty good doing it, right? I mean, it's nice to see heavyweights that are all the way in shape. I will say that. We've had an issue, I'd say, the last 10 to 15 years with that. And some of it, don't get me wrong, is just guys getting so damn big. You could even get, like, an injury, and next thing you know, you're out for 6 months and you gain all this weight because you couldn't really fully exercise. So it's not all just people being out of shape, but, you know, we're used to seeing – heavyweight fights, two dudes leaning on each other. Now, in the last, say, 5 years, that has changed more. You have seen guys who are prospects now or are contenders or, you know, been around for a little bit that are in great shape or at least look like they're in great shape. And some of that is just, I don't know. Sometimes when you look at guys that they're out of shape and they're fighting, now, you have your Areolas, you have your Ruizes, you have your body types that sometimes they are out of shape, sometimes they're not, yada, yada, yada. It is what it is. I'm just bringing it up because I tend to like that. You know, and the fact that he boxed a good chunk of his life, I think that's key too. I know that sounds kind of funny, but I do think that's key instead of just a former football player, basketball player. Anyway, he took care of business. He took care of business. So we're going to, you know, see how they continue to move him and whatnot. It'll be interesting to see if they do end up changing his nickname. The other one's, you know, Big Baby, the other Big Baby's out of commission for at least a couple of years, you assume. Of course, assuming in boxing doesn't always get you where you want to be, right? But anyway, there was Eduardo Sanchez and Kenny Davis Jr. Nothing to really write home about on this one, to be honest. But as far as, like, where are these guys going to go? But the actual fight was competitive. I thought Davis got out to a pretty good start early. A few good exchanges, but the jab and the left hand kind of did that for me in the second round. I gave it to Sanchez. He was mixing up his punches to the head and body. And he was just busier. Competitive round, especially the start to mid, I'd say, in the third round. And then Davis, I think it was a left hook to the body. But he also hit him. Davis also hit Sanchez when he was down. It was pretty clear. Now, maybe he wasn't – maybe his knee hadn't technically all the way touched yet, and that's why they didn't call it or whatever, but it looked pretty clear to me that he was actually down. But anyway, let me see. Where am I at here? So basically there was a knockdown there. So Davis, to me, that probably was the difference, that knockdown. But Davis got a point deducted for spitting out his mouthpiece in the very next round, right? It was only a four-rounder. So I thought, you know, leaping left hooks and a nice right hand, especially early in that fourth round, I thought Davis was winning the round, but then that kind of, is it a 10-9 or is it a 10-8? if I had him winning the round, Davis, as far as the action taking place, not the point deduction, then I'd say that's more of a 10-9. But either way, if you had it, 2-2, 3-1, I had Davis winning. Davis Jr. did win 38-36 on two judges' scorecards. There was a tied scorecard too. But like I said, I don't know what to take from it all the way. But a fun fight, you know, it was interesting. Then we had Martino Jules and Aleem Jumakhanov, I think that's how you say that. Jules, for me, dominated much of this fight. Early on, though, they were kind of both flinging these hooks at each other. You know, you had one guy bringing pressure and one guy boxing on his toes a little bit. Speaking of toes, I think it was the second or third round where Jumakhanov, I think it was Jumakhanov, he was like stepping on his foot, Jules' foot, like for not just here and there, for like 10 seconds. It was actually pretty damn close. The first three rounds, though, I gave to Jules. I thought he was pretty clear. I did think Aleem, the fourth round was closer. I gave that to Aleem. I also gave him the sixth as well. But I'd say down the stretch, the sharper puncher, the stick and move, kind of lead left hands or a jab and pivot, that was Jules, and I gave him the fight either 5-3 or 6-2. 5-3 is what I kind of settled in on. Two scorecards read 78-74 for Jules, and one had it a draw, 76-76. You know, the body shots, I think, are what Aleem did really well. In fact, I think I wrote it down 49-16, so he definitely had an advantage there. But overall, Jules outworked him, outclassed him in a lot of ways. 217-91 as far as landed punches. So he looked pretty good. He's now, what, 10-0 or something like that? I thought he was pretty sharp. He looked pretty sharp. He had good movement, very fluid. And like I said, it seemed like he's a pretty heads-up fighter. I don't believe I've seen him fight. Maybe once, but not many, that's for sure. And then in the main event, you had Felix Verdejo. By the way, before the main event, Madeira? Before the main event, they cut this promo. They showed this promo, kind of new school, old school promo, where they're showing, of course, top-ranked fighters, but also, you know, old school guys, or even not even that old school, like Floyd and Pacquiao or whatever. I bring it up because I thought it was really well done. I did. I really liked it. That's probably the best promo that they've had. Maybe I'm missing one in there someplace, but I really liked how they blended the old school and new school together. I thought it was well done. And I guess that's kind of a lot of detail just for a promo, but let's be honest, it's not like a lot happened in the fight. Verdejo came out with a really sharp and stiff jab. I think it was an uppercut that started things out, definitely hurt him. He followed up with some good shots. I think there was another uppercut and a right hand that eventually just, you know, he was done. He knocked him down, and he just couldn't quite, you know, I think he may have been able to get up, maybe, but when he was trying to get up, you could just tell he was dazed and confused. And so a really good performance by Verdejo. I was like, wow, okay, that's, and he was, wasn't he coming off like an in-between so-so performance too? He is a pretty inconsistent fighter, but you like to see a guy that took a loss, especially a guy that, you know, had a lot of hype behind him and a lot of pressure too. And maybe some of that was there. And you know, a lot of it was just him not 100% focused. We see it, you know, at times we see it with fighters. Sometimes they're 100% focused until they get to the point where they start making huge money or big money. Sometimes it happens as a, you know, a major prospect coming out. So, it can vary, but it is nice to see Verdejo, you know, building his way back after, like I said, an early loss to somebody that probably shouldn't beat him. And we'll see where he goes from there. But he looked good. His body looked good. He didn't – I mean, it's tough to say how great a shape he was in. I mean, it is COVID. But also, you know, it's one round. And it's not like, you know, the guy he fought – he was okay. What was he, 15-0 and had some draws, I think two or three draws. So, but Felix looking pretty good, you know, and he's in a weight class and around weight classes that there are plenty of folks he could fight now. You know, where exactly, you know, I don't know exactly how they're going to move him. Are they going to keep slowly moving him up or are they going to really put him in with something here soon? I'm not sure, but like I said, it is just kind of nice to see a guy who had a lot of pressure, but had a lot of, you know, potential, still does have potential, a lot of it, actually. It's not like he's a super old guy. He's like mid-20s, right? Something like that. I think 26, 27, maybe 28. I don't think so, though. So a couple years back, you know, he took that loss and not that, you know, he's come back and fought Brian Vasquez, I remember that. He hasn't fought any killers and all that, and he wasn't really fighting that tough of dudes before that per se, but it was. I thought they were moving him pretty well as a prospect. That's why it kind of surprised me when he lost, actually. But it looked pretty damn good to me. It really did. I liked what I saw out of him. So that's about it. Like I said, I'm not going to talk about Tuesday because I'm not going to talk about why I didn't see Tuesdays because I already did. So I'm not going to talk too much about it. What else could I talk about from the last little bit? I mean, yeah, because I already talked about, because I did a show last Thursday. So two Thursdays ago. So I wonder, did I mention Carlos Castro? On the last one, didn't he take on Cesar Juarez? He looked damn good to me. He's been one of the most impressive guys, I'd say, in this run for them. So yeah, that's about it for recap. Like I said, I will be previewing, you know, the fight card coming up, especially the main event. I think that's a pretty good fight. I'm looking forward to that. You know what? Man, my freaking... the hell is going on? Okay, there's no emergency. God, you'd think it was emergency, the type of... What the hell? Okay, sorry about that. You know, sometimes you forget to, like, return, like, a text or something, and then someone texts you, and their text is, like, in-depth, and you're like, oh, that's all just you. I thought I had a lot more messages. Like, oh, okay, good, okay. Okay. So there is a variety of news that we'll get to. All right, so someone's asking something of me that I just can't do. So anyway, I will be getting into some fight news. One of the things though that I talked about a little earlier, was the Lomachenko and Teofimo fight that we've heard. You know, first of all, it was September 19th, which always was weird because if you line up, like, what was going on that night, especially UFC, and they want to do a pay-per-view, it didn't ever line up that well. It was like, huh, okay, and then you want to be right after Canelo's weekend? It just seems like it's not like you can – it'd be different if it was DAZN doing it after Canelo weekend, because then they could use Canelo to, you know, to promote it, right? But that's, I don't know. To me, that really never made sense. But we now know at least that it's getting pushed back to October 3rd. If you remember correctly, October 3rd was like the first date they came up with for the Wilder and Fury trilogy. Which he even says now in the Athletic, Coppinger reporting here, him saying that, you know, that Wilder and Fury fight, the earliest would be in December. I wouldn't doubt if that thing's in Australia or New Zealand. especially if you look at the amount of people that they're going to start putting in their stadiums over in that part of the world. But they're calling it the best case scenario October 3rd for Loma Lopez, which makes sense. And this cop goes even further in saying, you know, once offers are formally made, negotiations will ensue, and usually it's about 60 days to, you know, promote it, 8-week training camp, all that sides. Both sides are keen to make the deal, but negotiations are really seamless, which makes sense. The problem for me is hearing that they haven't even been offered. That's the headline. Vasily Lomachenko, Teofimo Lopez haven't received offers for the fight. It's just like, what? Well, that's the part that I don't understand. Now, do they have two separate offers, or could they make two separate offers, one with crowd, one without, or are they just saying, if we can't do this with the crowd, we're not going to do it, and so why even put out these numbers? But that really, like, in a sense, it kind of pisses you off, but this is boxing. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff that can bug you and piss you off and whatnot, but it's just kind of weird to, like, hype the fight for this long. They've cut promos for it. They've shown them during these broadcasts. They've had segments for this fight. They've put out the date and all that, but then they haven't even offered them. It's just kind of weird. And he goes on to say, you know, complicating the effort is the ability to generate a live bid, of course, for revenue. Because both of them will want millions of dollars, which that I understand that, but I don't know, man. It's just kind of like, you know, Bob Arum talks about a bunch of stuff, right? We all know that. That is kind of his shtick. You do have to take some of this stuff, you know, in a grain of salt. But some of this is like, sometimes I wish when people tweet, and I'm talking about the media mostly here, when they tweet or they, you know, have an article or a blog or whatever, they talk about it on their podcast or whatever, or talk about it in interviews. When he says all this stuff, oh, we got this, oh, we got that, we're going to do this, this is the date for this, Crawford's going to fight this guy, I think it should be preferenced by, but as we've seen in the past, like I understand you got to tell people in the media what your plans are, but it's almost like, you know, the old promoter trick where they put out a bunch of names, like four or five names. They may put out real information, maybe not. Maybe they'll talk a little bit about the negotiations. And then sometimes you'll see like another layer of one or two names that are pretty disappointing. And sometimes it turns out to be those fights. Other times it's kind of like, well, at least it's not that fight. We could still get the worst one out of this. So to me, this kind of falls under that category of like, dude, it's just weird. Like, I don't know. It's just kind of like mind-boggling that you guys are going to pump this fight up that much and you haven't even sent offers to the fighters. I know there were some negotiation issues the first time around too, but the most we really heard about it was Teofimo saying it. So that's really from a one-sided angle, so you can't really look too deep into that, but it seemed like the obstacles were taken care of, the money prior. Now we're hearing, at least from Cop, and I haven't heard Aaron come out and say Coppinger doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about or nothing like that, you know. So we'll see. We'll see. But it really kind of strikes me as odd that they haven't even received offers. I understand not announcing it. I understand playing the wait-and-see game to an extent to even know if you're going to be able to have a crowd. But it just seems weird not to offer that. Speaking of a next fight and up in the air, Canelo Alvarez still up in the air. Kind of interesting, though. 2 days ago, they put out this was a boxing scene. They had this article that says Canelo's next fight could be held at Mount Rushmore. Alcatraz Island or Fantasy Springs. So I'm guessing Fantasy Springs. But maybe not. I mean, you know, De La Hoya even said in the article that, you know, we have these options, but we already have a deal with Fantasy Springs in general. You know, the outdoor stuff makes sense. The Mount Rushmore basically comes in because, you know, the president had a big rally, basically, is what it turned into there, right? So they're thinking, okay, just kind of like DAZN, how DAZN's going to have something in Tulsa outdoors, which actually has been done in the past, right on Main Street, I think it was. But either way, it's because there was an outdoor, or there was an indoor, actually, there. There was an indoor event. So I think that's part of it. It's like, well, they did do an outdoor event, so, well, maybe we'll go there. Maybe Mount Rushmore. It's like, hey, yeah, come on here. I don't know. It's kind of, I don't know. It's kind of funky, dude. But, hey, if someone's willing to pay you to come there, and I'm not saying that's the case, but if that's the case, you do have to do it in these times, right? And I'm pretty sure other places in the world would have, you know, would pay to have Canelo fight there. Places that they're now open more, I guess you could say, and they have contained the virus better. But anyway, I digress. But as far as with this Canelo thing, like, okay, we talked about a little bit about potentially, you know, where he's going to fight. But as far as who, I mean, who the hell knows at this point? Right now, it seems like Ryder. It does seem like that. But then in the same breath, you know, now recently we've heard Callum Smith. And Callum Smith and Ryder, they just, and it was a damn close fight. In fact, I would be fine, you know, with that. I really would. Oh, here's some more. Someone actually just sent me this. About Loma and Lopez, we had it scheduled, blah, blah, blah. Right now, with the coronavirus spike going on in Nevada, we couldn't schedule it, even in limited spectators. Hopefully, we have some time. We're looking to do that fight for 2,000 or maybe 2,500 people. And see, that's, I mean, hopefully that happens, but that means it can happen then. You know what I mean? Like, in general. Because if you're only going to have 2,000-something people there, that's not going to create some sort of big gate or anything like that. But back, thanks for sending that to me. But anyway, here's Gomez about Canelo, because like I said, we've heard a variety of names. Some of them really good, some of them not, some of them David Lemieux, you know, which is not really the one that I would 100% look forward to. And be like, hey, that's going to be a great fight. I'm not saying, you know, that that's not the case. But Jason Quigley actually came up and he said this to Sky Sports Boxing, I'm possibly going to be fighting Canelo. It's a high possibility now. Golden Boy and my management have been in touch. They offered me the fight. There's other boxers that could be getting the fight as well. But I have been asked, and I said yes. And, you know, good for anybody that gets the Canelo fight. You know, I'm not ripping, like, hey, go for it. You know, if some people want more money to face them and you're going to take it, freaking go for it, like I said. But I don't know, dude. We keep hearing all these damn different names, and it's just kind of, like I said, kind of fluctuating. We really don't know what they're thinking. Bernard Hopkins even said that Kevin Ioli tweeted it, just did a great interview with the Hall of Famer Bernard Hopkins. He tells me it's likely John Ryder in September. So you hear this interview, it's that. You hear that, it's this. So it's kind of all over the place. Mannix, actually, just today, actually, not long ago, representatives for Canelo Alvarez and Callum Smith are discussing a September matchup, sources familiar with the discussion told SI. Talks are still in early stages, so they're in early stages. How could anything with Canelo right now be in early stages? That's what I'm wondering. Are they feeling the heat to deliver a fight and they're just saying, screw it, let's go for it? I mean, if that's the case, let's do it. Alvarez holds a minor 168. Belton Smith is arguably boxing's top super middleweight. I don't really agree with that. I think the super middleweight has to be figured out. He goes on to say Alvarez-Smith matchup could be a blockbuster event. Smith is coming off a lackluster performance, but he's an undefeated title holder. And his skill, I don't know. It's one of his toughest to date is what he said. Did he say power or height? Height and skill would make Smith one of Canelo's toughest tests. I mean, maybe that is true once they get in the ring, but I don't know. I haven't really seen a ton out of Kellyanne Smith that tells me this will be one of his toughest fights. But, yeah, stylistically with the jab and whatnot, we've seen a jab if someone's really good at it. But it's not like he's Arislandi Lara with the movement. What was that, like 5 years ago, 6 years ago? So I would love to fight, though. That would be great, but like I said, it depended upon the day of the week. You know, we've been hearing so many things that just kind of throw you off, you know. Also, a chunk of days ago, this is like 3 days ago, Golden Boy president Eric Gomez, and this is ESPN, he claims they're also going after Terrano Johnson and Jason. Well, I already said Jason Quickly. So, I don't know if they're getting backup plans or whatever. Here's more from Gomez. He hasn't agreed to anything. That's what he says about Canelo. But obviously, because there's not going to be a gate automatically, he's going to make less. He gets part of the gate. The sponsors are not around. Also, a lot of the sponsors don't want to do anything right now. So if he fights because there's no gate, he's going to make less. That's if he fights, if he decides to fight. But he hasn't decided yet. So maybe that's why it's in early stages, right? So when he says he makes money out the gate, though, doesn't DAZN give him like $35 million a fight, though? So when he says less, like what are we talking less? Are we talking about less from DAZN? Or are you saying because there's no gate? Well, the gate, it would probably be about anywhere from like right around $8 million. It matters if he fought, obviously. If it's Golovkin, it's higher. But it's right around $8 million if you look at his last couple fights. So does that mean Golden Boy can't put on the fight then to make money? Because, like I said, isn't Canelo getting that $35 million? I don't know. So it's up in the air, dude. It's up in the air. Now, this is the rest of the show is kind of going to be news-oriented. It's going to be news-oriented, some boxing Twitter stuff, fight news and stuff like that. But Golden Boy has definitely been dropping the ball when it came to extending these, you know, negotiations. And I know a lot of people want to knee-jerk and blame it on the opponents. Blame it just on the fighters. Obviously, we're in a different time frame right now, but I'm talking before, and we all knew back then, I shouldn't say we all knew, but if you're paying attention and you weren't biased or whatever, you could tell that by setting the precedent, by paying Jacobs and Alvarez, Kovalev, like by paying these guys this kind of money, you're setting yourself up for disaster, especially if it's coming out of Golden Boy's pocket. So they've been just struggling to close deals for so long to the point where they missed Mexican Independence Weekend last time. I mean, come on, dude. You know what I mean? So I don't know. And it's funny because about a week ago, it was Derevchenko who was the main option. Where there was Chutnov and Ryder and Lemieux. That's what they were saying back then. So, I really don't know. Anyway, there is actually some news that came out that sounds pretty positive about a good fight, which, you know, we need plenty of positivity in boxing, right? Sometimes it can be a real pain in the ass. But anyway, so it sounds like Charlo and Derevyanchenko are going to fight. It's not 100%. We don't know for a fact, but it does sound like they got a fight brewing for October-ish. We can't give an exact date or anything like that. We don't know if it's 100%, you know, factual, but that would be a damn good fight. That would be a really good fight, Derevyanchenko against Jacobs and Golovkin. A lot of people didn't even really, I don't know, like, some people thought Derevyanchenko shouldn't even got the Golovkin fight. I saw that plenty on boxing Twitter, and that includes media. But then when he leveled up with him, all of a sudden they're like, oh, he beat him or whatever. And don't get me wrong, like, it was a tight-ass fight. I think Golovkin sneaked it out, but it was a tight-ass fight. The Jacobs fight, very competitive. What was that, a split decision or a majority decision? It was a close fight. It was a very competitive fight. He usually starts pretty well. Derevyanchenko, he does kind of fade, ends up getting hurt a fair amount of times. Even in that Cloquet fight that I saw, I covered live here at the Armory, that kind of turned out that way. But there was an interview actually on Cops and Pug's show that kind of made it like, okay, huh, that fight might actually happen. And so that would be a really good fight. You know, I think that would be a good fight. Derevyanchenko and Charlo. And Charlo obviously aligned himself to try to become a mandatory for Canelo and, I guess, Golovkin, right? And we know how that worked out. Golovkin did get, after they fought, you know, it was supposed to be like the winner, you know, faces Charlo, but then that, you know, obviously then they fought a second time and they're like, hey, this is, you know. So basically Golovkin got called as Charlo for the belt, right? And the franchise, you know, champion thing happened at 168 for the WBC for Canelo. And Charlo was kind of at, you know, he fought some solid dudes at 150, but at 160, it's been really about aligning yourself in the WBC to be able to become a mandatory. And that was accomplished. But then, you know, after that, it's been really herky-jerky, not that good, right? I understand why they aligned it that way. And I guess you could say they did force the WBC's hand. Now, the hand that they dealt was, you know, a franchise champ. So, and of course, Golovkin wasn't going to fight Charlo because he had another shot at, you know, Canelo. So I get that. Whatever. But, Korobov was a solid fight. But other than that, you know, 160 hasn't been, you know, hasn't really been impressive at all. It's not even about impressive, actually. It's just been lukewarm. Very mediocre. Besides Korobov, that was a good fight. Korobov's a good fighter, but and that's not to take away from some of his opponents, but let's be honest, you know what I mean? It is what it is. Now, I don't agree. There's plenty of guys who are undefeated that haven't fought in Austin Trout or even a J-Rock or something like that, so I'm not going to go as far as some, like Pugmire was like, oh, everybody thinks this dude's a fake, and, you know, a lot of people are saying he's just, you know, the trash opponents and that type of feel to it anyway. And, you know, the Charlos were moved at different, you know, levels. And it took Jermall longer. First of all, he wasn't even signed to Haven for a little bit. Wasn't even signed to Golden Boy for a little bit. So it took him a little longer. Whereas if you look at Jermall, he was facing better vets earlier, right? And then it kind of flipped, what was it, K-9, which obviously passed his prime back then. But for your first championship fight, it's not like the most craziest thing to fight a guy like an old vet like K-9. I'm not sitting there saying that puts you in the Hall of Fame. but then Austin Trout, you know, who after that still gave the other Charlo a good fight and obviously gave her a damn good fight. So that was a quality win. And you know, at the time, J-Rock, a fair amount of people picked J-Rock among boxing experts. So he doesn't have this deep, deep resume, but let's look around. There's a lot of resumes that aren't deep. I just think that when you look at how many fights he has and how many names, you can, that's where you can point to it, obviously. But, you know, like I said, sometimes it takes a little bit longer for guys. But I sure would like this because Charlo needs a really solid fight at this weight class. Like I said, only Khorabov in the last year that was good. Like a good, good fight. Like, okay, that's a good fight. Now, this would be good. And, you know, you get to say, okay, well, he left, you know, he almost beat Danny and he almost beat Golden Boy. So if you can go out there and beat him like 8-4 and hurt him and knock him down, you know, it's the measuring stick thing. So I happen to like that fight. Let's hope it happens. Speaking of fights that I really like here, Showtime is back August 1st. It's going to be at the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. And I'm really feeling this, dude. So the first fight back for Showtime, main event, Stephen Fulton and Angelo Leo. Or is it Leo? Unbeaten guys, 122. I think it's a vacant, right? Because Navarrete is it had to be the WBO, right? Navarrete. So Navarrete is going up to featherweight, which I guess I can't blame him based on how big he is. But there was a lot of fights down there. Hopefully he gets some big fights, you know, at this new weight class. But to me, two unbeaten fighters, somewhat of a clash of styles. It's going to be a skill fest, I'll tell you that. I really like that fight, and that is a really good fight to come back with. Two hungry guys, unbeaten prospects, like I said. Oops. I'm feeling that fight. That is a strong return. And, no, is this like some meaningful fight as far as, you know, a top 10 fighter? No, but it is legit at that weight class. That is a damn good fight. No surprise here. Daniel DuBois and Joe Joyce will be taking interim bouts before their meeting. And that's coming up. Supposedly that's coming up here very soon. And then they're going to meet October 24th, I guess. That's what they're saying right now. Also from the UK Top Rank, looking to put a card on with Michael Conlon and Carl Frampton in separate bouts August 15th in Belfast, which, you know, that would make a lot of sense to have them two on it, right? But skill-wise, dude, oh, man, I'm looking forward to this. Actually, someone sent me something about I'm still talking about that Fulton-Leo fight. It's just Coppinger's tweet. Fulton is a throwback Philly fighter. In his 18 fights, he's fought 8 undefeated opponents, beat Joshua Greer. 8th fight, Adam Lopez in his 12th. Nice win. Tough and rugged body puncher. That is true. But I don't know, man. There's skill on both sides. I think on the move and being the outside boxer and using his distance will be Fulton. But Leo's pretty damn good, dude. That's a good fight. That's a good fight. Let's see here. Well, I kind of already told you about the Navarrete thing. This is Steve Bunce, just to keep it UK. It's official. There will be 17 professional boxing shows between this Friday, meaning last Friday, until September 1st. That's a record in the summer. As many as fighters, but young prospects will be back. Business is in recovery. That is a lot of shows. Here's a little bit of news as well. Povetkin and Dillian White have been in BOTA testing and subject to testing since March 11th and will continue through their August 22nd bout. And the way this stuff works, they should both be on year-round. But, hey, you know, what am I going to do? Here's Devin Haney. He tweeted this, in the works for a huge fight with one of the top lightweights. Stay tuned. Now, is that Campbell? hold on. This is an old. This, I think this is old, dude. I don't think this is a new tweet. Someone sent this to me. I don't think it is, but they don't have the date on it. I think that's an old tweet, dude. That's like almost a month ago. Here's some other news from COP. Golden Boy has reportedly now told the WBA, officially, that Ryan Garcia is moving forward with the WBC final limiter against Luke Campbell rather than the WBO option, Tago, which would be a good fight, too. That's a little bit of news there. Let's see. Do I have some more news to get to? Oh, Crawford. Well, so we already know Crawford's not going to take less money. That's been pretty much established for quite some time. I know somebody just did a I think it was on Boxing Scene, actually. Someone just did a article on that. But here's Andre. Demetrius Andre rejects talk of pay cut. Go cut pay for Canelo, GGG, and Joshua. Maybe stop paying Anthony Joshua all that money. Maybe stop paying Canelo all that money. Maybe stop paying Triple G all that money. Everyone else should be happy with what they're getting. And everyone else should be happy with what they're getting. There's a lot of money out there between the names I mentioned. The people that are coming up got to take it. The people that are coming up got to take a pay cut? That's crazy. Make them take a pay cut and spread it. There's enough there. At the end of the day, who do the fighters got to take the pay cuts? They're taking the punishment, which is a good, a good point there. It's just fucked up situation. It's fucked up. Go pay cut everybody else. I don't see any other sport taking a pay cut. He talks about the Mahomes deal, the 500. Well, actually, a lot of leagues. Actually, every league that's coming back. That we know is coming back. I mean, the NFL is still in flux technically, but the NBA, baseball, they all took pay cuts. And there was only, five dudes in the NBA that didn't take them this year because they already got them paid in full, so they're taking them next year. So that really doesn't ring true there. But I understand it. He also talks about, I don't blame Crawford for saying that I want my money. So I get some of that. They did sign Golovkin to a huge deal. I've said that many a times. But in the same breath, it's what you negotiate. If Canelo got $35 million a fight, that's what they deemed his worth. So, and he's been in some huge-ass fights. Look at his gates compared to yours. You know what I mean? So I get what he's saying. I get he's saying Anthony Joshua at the end. He's saying, Canelo's making this much money. Anthony's that. Pay cut them and pay everybody else. But that's really not how it works, though. And they're saying everybody's going to take a pay cut here. So, whatever. I'm not going to get too deep in that. I understand why people want their money. And Crawford said, there's a minimum. It's just like Ryan Garcia said it, actually. There's a minimum. That means the minimum I'm going to pay. Now, Ryan Garcia was talking about it, if that's my minimum and I'm going to take on the best fight of my life, then I need more than my minimum, which that makes sense. But, obviously in these times, it's a little different. Anyway, little boxing Twitter before we get out of here. Josh Taylor clears 140 division. And would slaughter Spence and Crawford. This has to be a troll. This has to be a troll, right? Just someone on Twitter wanting attention. Josh Taylor cleans 140. That's possible. I'm not saying he can't beat everybody at 140. It's very possible. But then slaughter? So he's not going to slaughter 140. He couldn't slaughter Postol. He didn't slaughter Postol. He didn't slaughter Prograin. Right? I mean, that's true. Those were competitive, very tight fights. But so he's going to clear out 140 the way he has so far. But then he's going to slaughter Spence and Crawford? Come on now. come on now. Well, let's calm down a little bit, can we? Just a thought. Bud Crawford. Oh, there's some more slaughtering. It's not slaughter, but they used the word absolutely destroyed. Just a thought. Bud Crawford would absolutely destroy Keith Thurman. Really? And just destroy him. Someone actually backed up that. Hell no, Thurman stylistically gives Crawford a lot of trouble with his movement and counterpunching. Mean Machine rocked him. Imagine if Keith hits him with a clean left hook or right cross. Crawford can beat him, but he ain't destroying. That's a close fight. I agree with that. I don't see this as like, you know, some people think it's like five rounds, it's over. It's a brawl. I mean, I don't know. I mean, so Crawford's just going to go attacking right away with Thurman. Because, you know, Thurman's probably not going to do that. He's probably going to be on the move. I'd see that more as a skill fest. I really would. I would see that more as a skill fest, in my humble opinion. Let's see if we got one more here. Oh, what's going on with Wilder? There's no hype surrounding him anymore. I mean, to be honest with you, the guy's got a fucking bunch of attention for a variety of reasons. None of them that good. You know, for all the excuses. I mean, that... And to be fair, not all of them have come from him. A lot of it's come from YouTube channels. But, I mean, considering he got knocked out, and don't get me wrong, he got knocked out very roughly, right? It was a rough fight, but I would say his stock's pretty high considering right now he's going to get a rematch and people were still talking about it. So I don't necessarily agree with that. Oh, RIP to Travell Mazon, the Black Magic, 17-0, 13-0. Prospect, Golden Boy prospect. That's sad, man. I think it was a car wreck, right? So definitely, man. That's rough. 24 years old. That's tragic, man. Travell Manzone, 17-0. R.I.P. Man. Ugh. God, that's rough. Virgil Ortiz actually put out something. I can't believe it. R.I.P. For those who don't know him or never met him, he was a very talented boxer. One of the coolest people I knew. I always enjoyed watching him fight. Love you, bro. Watch over us. It's a nice message by Ortiz. Man, jeez. That's rough, man. That's really, really rough. Okay, I think just because it's a short one, I didn't even have my my thing open, my switchboard open. I really couldn't take any callers, but I appreciate those who did call in. And I'll probably be back, maybe Tuesday night after the Valdez-Velez fight. That's what I'm aiming towards. It could be, you know, Wednesday night, the night after. I'm not totally sure, but I'm gearing in to Tuesday. So I appreciate all the listeners. Try to stay safe out there. Hopefully things are going good for you. I know I'm back to working part-time for quite some time now. In Minnesota, the spread has been pretty good. You know, it's not about getting political with this stuff, but just wear a fucking mask. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, as you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, the bullshit, the whole bag, and when you become a world champion, you're like, you know what, I made it. Now I'm going to show you it's this. So I'm going to give every dollar worth of what I deserve. Why?